Thank you and good morning, church. It's a privilege here to come and share, especially this is our 30th anniversary, a journey that isn't too long, but yet isn't too short. So I think in the midst of us, there are people who are already very familiar with BeCare and you have been partnering us. Thank you so much. But there could be in our midst some of you who are still new. And so I'm just here to briefly run through with you what are the works of BeCare so that you know, it's my part to introduce, but it's your part then to partner us in reaching out to the community. As what Pastor Ruth has shared earlier, BeCare is a social arm of LSBC, and we are actually set up as one of the main platforms of the church outreach in 1996. And BeCare is a registered society as well as charity with IPC status, meaning that whoever donates to BeCare gets to have a tax exemption. So we started as a small ministry, focusing mainly in the area of Hougang, but we have since grown to a sizable organization, and like the church, we have also expanded our service boundary to Sengkang as well as Punggol. The vision of BeCare has always been more than just providing care to the community. We are not just here to help them and that's it, but we want to help them sustain. And therefore, what we want to see is really to foster communities of care. Meaning we want to actually create and be part of the environment where people can come together to care for one another, to enrich life, to instill a positive outreach, and also to build resilience in those that we serve. Currently, we are actually operating in 5 centres, 4 in Hougang and then 1 in Sengkang. We want to thank God that, you know, in the past financial year, we have actually managed to reach out to different residents in the community. And our work is actually divided into 3 parts. Firstly, we have the children, youth and family. Then we have the elder care as well as the mental health, those with mental health conditions. So we thank God that, you know, we have managed to reach out to about more than 2,000 people in the past year. And what you can see on the slide, the number of people that we have reached out to, they are actually not just statistics. You know, it's not just number to boast of, wow, how many people we have reached out. But actually, if you see this number, they represent the lives that we have outreached to in the past year. And some of them, it may be just a touch and go kind of thing, you know, and we believe that if we have more people on hand on our team, we will be able to even go deeper into their lives. But nevertheless, really thank God for what He has done in this past year. And right now, I'm just going to roughly run through the different programs under the 3 departments. I'm going to start with the children, the youth, and the families. So for children, youth and family, we seek to actually provide opportunities for these children and youth, especially those from the low-income families. We want them to have a good start in life. You know, it's sad if you have an adult coming to say that, oh, I'm failing in life because I was born into a disadvantaged family, I didn't have opportunities, you know. And that's where we want to come in and to make sure even those from disadvantaged families, we want to give them the opportunity that they can have a fair play in life. And the programs that we have will include, firstly, the milk powder and diapers program, which you saw Natasha share earlier in the video. This program is for low-income families with children 4 years and below. So we actually provide vouchers for them for milk powder, for diapers. When our volunteers go to the house, they go there actually once a month to deliver the vouchers. They are not just there to be like a Grab delivery person to give vouchers. Sign, make sure, you know, you take proof and that's it, you know. But when they go, they actually go also as a befriender. They give a listening ear to the parents. They are also trained to give like parenting tips or even sometimes to help them in planning their finances, etc. These volunteers also go to help look out for other areas of need, areas of neglect or even abuse cases. So this is basically what our volunteers do. It's really a meaningful thing like what Natasha has shared. They become a friend, somebody whom this family can trust. And to let this family know that, hey, there's somebody out there who actually cares, who actually bothers. So that's our milk powder and diaper program. Then for the children, we also have tuition program for primary school kids. And many of these kids actually are really poor in their studies. So because of that, we don't run big classes, which basically is easier. You know, you have a tuition class, one tutor, you have a big class, it's easier. But because of the need that is so high, we actually run very small groups. And small, I mean, it could be one tutor, max just three students. We even have classes that's just really a one-to-one, which a lot of people say, hey, it doesn't make sense. But then that is the need, and so we want to provide the needs. You know, so we actually would hope to see more of you joining us, even as tutors. If you could spare like a one-week night, you know, then come and join us to be a mentor also to these kids, not just in terms of academic, but also to help them, you know, be an adult that they can talk to if they have problem or they can share with. So for the secondary school kids, we have what we call the homework center. We provide a place this youth can come to do their homework, to revise their studies. We do have mentors on site. So these mentors will help them in their schoolwork. But at the same time, similarly like the tutors, they also act as a mentor and speak to this youth. We also have a LEAP program. LEAP program, I think some of you used to know, it used to be called Royal Rangers. So it's mainly held by volunteers from our church, led by currently by Pastor Kelvin Poh. This is a community-based, like a CCA group, where they run activities, fun, and all that to these children and youth. The main focus is really on character development. So through activities, through all the fun they have, they learn about character development. Then we also run a student care center. Some of you may not know. It's actually at Hougang Street 91. Current enrollment is about 60. We do have capacity for more. And similarly, this is not just a student care to provide, you know, like a nanny service or make sure they finish their homework. But we also introduce a lot of character development. Because we believe that for the young people, the foundation is really developing their character rather than just teach them to study well and do well in school. We also partner with schools. We run school-based programs that include like mental health, group works, like anxiety or stress management and things like that. We also run mentoring classes. So for these children and youth, you know, as you can see, our service goes beyond just academic or financial support, but it is really about enriching and helping to improve the life of these young ones. I mean, as young as they are born, yeah, to all the way to their youth. And the tuition program is one of those whereby, you know, one of these kids was saying that he came and the mother says that she saw the difference. And the difference is not like, oh, you know, he improved in his school marks or whatever. But the improvement that she saw was that he is now enjoying learning. I mean, it's how many of our kids can say that, oh, I enjoy learning, I enjoy studying. I mean, it'd be so wonderful to hear this kind of testimonies, because the moment they enjoy learning, that is the time where they actually learn to be a bit more self-disciplined because they are doing what they enjoy. So basically, that's what we do for our children and youth work. I'll move on to the seniors' work. Seniors' work, what we do is we actually come alongside them to provide support for purposeful living. Just now, I think you heard also, purposeful living, enabling them not just to come and receive support, but also to be able to contribute back into the community. So our programs include, firstly, I think some of you may have heard a lot, our AAC at 287A Compassvale. This was started in 2018 as a senior activity center. It has now transited to what we call Active Aging Center 2.0. Okay, that's according to AAC, it's 2.0, which means like it's there already. Huh? So we thank God that because of this transition, we are now allocated about 4,800 seniors. These are the number given to us that, you know, legit, we can just go to the house and, hi, you know, we are here by AIC. And you know, it gives us that freedom to knock on doors to go in, which is what the church has been doing, knocking on doors. And so this AAC right now, because of the number that we are given is so many, we are also currently in the midst of expanding to another center in Block 239, also in Compassvale. We also have Senior Connect 574 and 603. These two began, I mean, this is one of the longest program actually. It started as really just a Saturday morning program, a half-day program for seniors. It has since developed into full-day program running from Monday to Friday. So now our center is, every of our center is really well-utilized to serve the community. So Senior Connect 574 only started in September 2024. But currently, their membership stands at 137, and the average attendance is about 33 seniors. So you can you imagine, if you go into a 574 Senior Connect program, there are about 30 over seniors that we can connect with. Senior Connect 603 just celebrated their fourth anniversary last Friday. And it's always a joy to, you know, attend their program because you see a lot of seniors there having fun, talking, joking to each other. And, you know, I spoke to Auntie Doris, who is in charge of the program, and she shared with me that the seniors there, they are quite active. They actually go to other senior program. They go to other AAC, other community events and whatever. But whenever they have a problem, they only come to 603. You know, first thing that she told me, I was like, huh, Sienna, why got problem, then come to us. Good thing then come lah, you know, got problem don't come, that kind of thing. But then, you know, I think it's really a testimony of the staff there, the volunteers there, that, hey, this is the place where people with issues want to come. And that's what Jesus did, right? He said he come for those who are sick, not for those who are well. So we're really glad that these seniors, when they want to find solution, where they want to find love, this is where they come. You know, and we really thank God for that. And some of the seniors actually call our program 爱之家, you know, so in translation, it's House of Love. I mean, when I heard that, I was like, wow, you know, it's not a name that we give ourselves. We just call it Senior Connect. But they call us 爱之家. Again, it reflects of the love of God that was that's manifested through the staff and the volunteers. Our newest elder care program is Gym Tonic. Some of you may have also heard. It only started operating last April, but in 1 year, we have actually had 170 seniors that registered, and we still have about 140 on waiting list. So this Gym Tonic is a special strength training gym only for seniors. So I think this service a lot of young people. Sorry, you don't qualify to participate, but you can still go to volunteer as a befriender. Okay, because through the program, we do talk to the seniors, we befriend them, and of course, we try to invite them to the Senior Connect program also, where they can also join the activities. It's always heartwarming for me to actually see these seniors, you know, having a good time when they join our program, when they join our event. We are trying to actually change their mindset from "I cannot already," you know, like what Mary shared earlier. It's like, you know, when you reach older age, you think that life is quieter. But we're telling them no, you know. We are trying to tell them that I still can. Maybe enjoying themselves, they still can enjoy. They still can have a good and a fun time. In addition, they can still continue to contribute and serve others. So in our senior program, what we do is, we don't just, okay, you come, join our program, but after a while, we want to encourage you to actually be a volunteer to serve those who have greater needs. So those who are still energetic and able, you know, they will be our volunteers in our events, or even when we have block parties, you know, in the community, quite a number of our members come as our volunteers. So really, thank God that, you know, we can actually help these seniors live a purposeful and meaningful retired lives. So again, if you have a passion for seniors, do come and join us. Currently, we are in very urgent need to recruit befrienders for our AAC Saturday morning program. Okay, so it's on Saturday morning. If you are free during that portion, that period of time, do come and join us. You can get more information at our BCare booth later. Okay, lastly, let me go to the mental health program. So for mental health program, I personally feel that already I believe that God has given a special anointing to be care for this group of people. So Fame Club started in 2009 as more like a social club, like a social club where we give them opportunities to come, to make friends, you know, to just participate in some activities and that's it. But then end of last year, we thank God that we are finally appointed by MOH as a psychiatric day rehab program, meaning, you know, we now see more serious cases. And I remember last week when SP shared in his message, he said that this group of people, especially those with conditions like maybe schizo or bipolar, etc., we don't see healing take place. We don't see them recover fully, which is true. Okay, but what Fame Club strive to do is not to help them heal or recover. I mean, of course, we do pray. But in the meantime, regardless of whatever condition they are in, we want to help them live a dignified and happy life. And a lot of them don't actually live that dignified and happy life. If you knew about people with mental health conditions, you know, they are the so-called, sometimes the outcast people. When they come near, people move away. But we want to help them find meaning. You know, and we actually celebrate very little steps of improvement. In this group of people, we don't, like I say, we don't see recovery, but we see little steps. And, you know, we have the privilege over this almost coming to 18 years or so, we actually have the privilege to see many of these steps in the people, in terms of maybe regaining their confidence, in terms of finding, you know, making new friends, or, you know, for a small group, they even actually managed to secure employment outside. And so we're really thankful to God that, you know, this is happening in our midst, and where we have the privilege to actually partner God. Of course, we do have people who come with depression. So depression is something that, you know, they can recover over time. And those who recover over time, they don't just leave after that, but they actually stay on to be like a peer support to the rest, because they are the best people actually to help people in mental health conditions, because they have walked through this journey before. So we are glad, you know, and again, I welcome you, because some of you may have this special passion for this group of people. So do join us. It's Monday to Friday. It's a full day event. So it's a full day program. And so as you can see, we have a lot of programs running. And over the years, we want to thank God for many, many volunteers, which includes quite a few of you in our midst, you know, for supporting us, journeying with us, because we cannot have done so without the support of volunteers. And of course, we also thank those who have donated, who have given to us, because donation is something that, you know, we need, because we are actually like a self-funded organization, so we need to raise funds. And so with that, I want to announce that that Strike for Good, if you know what that is, our annual fundraising program is back for the fourth year. Yay! Okay, yeah, we thank God. So there's two parts to this. Strive for Good, firstly, is be a fundraiser via our online platform. So you set up a fundraising page, you send the contacts to your friends out there, you actually tell them that, hey, you know, there's this social cause that we are donating to, invite them to donate, and, you know, so you do the work, they give the money. That's what we hope the church to partner us with. Our target this year is 500,000, a very high amount, but that is actually just part of the amount that we need to actually run all our programs. So, you know, do sign up as a fundraiser if you can. Of course, the other part of this event is the physical walk and jog event happening on 17 October 2026. Okay, if you have a phone right now, you have permission to take out your phone only now. Then go to your calendar, mark in 17 October, no, cannot make other appointments because you have to sign up for this. Okay, how many of you were with us last year? Punggol Coast Mall. So few? I thought I saw more. Yeah, so if you have not joined us, then this is the opportunity that you don't want to miss. We had a fun time last year. So this year, same thing, we're going to hold it at Punggol Coast Mall. GOH will be Mr. Bae Yam King, who is the mayor of Northeast District, as well as the MOS for transport and culture, community and youth. Okay, so this year we are targeting 800 to 1,000 participants, which is actually double our attendance of last year. And so same thing, we are going to have the 3 kilometer fun, run, jog, walk, whatever, you know, we call it run, and then somebody say, huh, run, I cannot walk, can walk, can jog, whatever. But we are also going to introduce a 6 kilometer competitive run. Okay, so for those who need a little bit more excitement to doing good cause, that's for you to sign up. So do sign up with us. Come and support our event. Don't just sign up as an individual. Sign up with your family, your friends, your relative, or even your cell group. And this is actually a good platform, unintimidating platform to invite your pre-believing friend to join your church family. And then, you know, together you walk, you talk to them, you can even share Christ with them along the way. So, you know, I encourage you all to actually participate with this. I briefly run through what we have. For the Strive for Good, I think when on your way in, you should have received the brochure. Okay, so that is the brochure. You can actually scan the QR code to sign up, or you can also sign up at our booth at the Carnival Ground later. So if you have more inquiries, you want to be a volunteer, or you want to know more about program, feel free to call us or email to us. The number and the email address will be on the slide. Okay, so feel free to contact us. Okay, so can I see a commitment? How many will join us on 17 October? Okay, just now God took a picture already. Those who put up your hand. Those who put up your hand, God sees it. Those who didn't put up your hand, God also see it. I leave it to you to. No, just joking. But do come and support us, because we really need your support. Okay, and once again, I want to thank all of you who have partnered us, maybe volunteering with us or even giving us. You know, really thank you. And we know we really look forward to continuous partnership with you, because BeCare is not a standalone. BeCare is part of LSBC. So if we are from LSBC, BeCare is your business. BeCare is your problem as much as it is to us. Okay, so I finished sharing the work part of BeCare. Now it is my privilege to invite the president of BeCare, who is SP, to share with us then on the word aspect. Thank you. SP, please.
Okay, good. Good afternoon. Today is very special. We have got it's a BeCare week, so we shifted everything about. And originally, I thought that I will preach first, then they share, but that's not a very good idea. You know that my sermon never ends. Yeah. But the BeCare presentation is so important. I thought they should present first. Whatever is remainder, I will pick it up. And if I don't have enough time, you will stay back. The title of my message is Remember the Poor. Remember the Poor. Three very, very powerful words. And I'll be speaking from Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. And because of the time limitation, we'll take it as read. So please go home, read and study this passage. Very, very interesting passage. We'll now turn to God in prayer first. Then let me try to unpack the word. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your love for each one of us and your special love for the poor. And we pray that we as a church would share your heart and have similar passion and compassion for the poor and the needy in our midst and in the areas of our overseas work as well. We pray, O God, today that as we turn to your word, you speak to us and bring forth strong biblical convictions in our life so that what we would do in our community pastoring work as well as in our participation in BeCare work, it will come out of strong biblical conviction. We pray this and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody say, Amen. Okay, Galatians chapter 2, 1 to 10 is read. And let me just give you a short introduction. It's already 12:19, so I'm going to keep it to within time. When you read the book of Galatians, you will discover as a background a very major shift in world evangelism was taking place at the time that the epistle was writing. Now, the world at the time, especially the Christian world, and world evangelism then was having a very big shift. The early Christian leaders concluded that both the Jews and the Gentiles must be rich for Christ. But prior to that, the early Christian leaders thought that the gospel was only for the Jews. Now, for those of us who are very new and we know the Jews, because Jesus was a Jew, he was sent to the Jews, died for the Jews, and then, of course, died for the world. But then the word Gentiles, you may not be familiar. Basically, the non-Jews in that time, right? The non-Jews, people of all race, religion, culture, and they're considered the Gentiles. So the gospel was shifting from purely to the Jews to include then the Gentile world. Thank God that includes us ultimately. Now, God, because the early Christian leaders thought that it was only for the Jews, then Christ got to change their thinking. And so God raised the Apostle Paul to strike out a new initiative to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. So as you read the passage in Galatians chapter 2, you discover that could be different fields for different churches. In those days, there were almost like two distinct fields, the Jewish pre-believers and the Gentiles. And God saw the division, and you find different people were sent to different places. The Jewish churches, under the leadership of Peter, James, and John, reached out to the Jews. And then Paul and Barnabas were recognized as being called to reach out to the Gentiles. You can read more about that in Galatians chapter 2, 7 to 9. It's on the screen. I'll just read the underscore part. Paul and Barnabas say that they, meaning the Jewish leaders, James, Cephas, and John, or Peter and John, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. The word circumcised, again, to some of us, we don't understand what is circumcision. The circumcision as a medical word practice, we all know, the removal of the foreskin. But who are the circumcised? Actually, the Jews. All Jews will be circumcised. And when conversion took place, the Jewish people, they remained circumcised. And they're basically very proud of this act of circumcision. And I can understand why, because it is covenantal. From Abraham's time, when it was circumcision took place, it was a covenant of God's with them of the salvation. So this is something they won't give up. To them, very important. And so they insisted that everybody should be circumcised. And when they moved from just pure Judaism to Christianity, the Christians should be circumcised. So that was basically the problem. And Paul taught differently, and God was prepared to make that change. Okay. So Paul actually then alluded to this tradition. To the Jews, it's a tradition, a conviction about circumcision. And Paul and the Gentile Christian, they have different conviction about that. So we have the difference. In chapter 2 to 4, they say that not even Titus was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in who came in by stealth to spy on our liberty which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. So Gentile Christian felt that the Jewish Christian was trying to force them to be circumcised and in a way rob them out of freedom as Christian, that we can avoid that part of the Jewish practice. Now, so you find that at that time, you must appreciate a lot of controversy, differences, and they're major because it has to do with really heartfelt issues for both sides. Now, but finally, they came and they said, okay, we are, God has convicted us, we are going to make peace. We will accept one another, but we must agree on something. Let's agree on something very, very important to both sides. And what did they agree on? Three words. And we read that they must be one agreement comprising three words, and the three words are remember the poor. All right. To me, when I read a passage, I mean, I've gone through many times, it has always impressed me that when there's such great controversy and we say that, look, let's sit down and agree, we must agree on important things. Agree, yeah? Must speak in tongues, yeah? Agree, yeah? There's the gift of the Holy Spirit, yeah? Agree, yeah? That the political Jews are also Israelites, yeah? Agree, yeah? There's no replacement. These are big things. Can we agree or not? But no. They just bypass all this which you view, and I think are very important, and say, The most important thing that we must agree is to remember the poor. So if you think about it, you realize that the Christian leader at the time view the poor as something very, very important. And we must find out why, because it is still applicable to us today. If you and I disagree on certain things, we say, hey, how about this? Can we agree on something? Can you and I agree that we shall remember the poor? That means we give priority in our church for the poor. Let that sink in, okay? So, very strange. And so, why was caring for the poor so important that it should be the non-negotiable when it comes to an agreement of these two group of people? Let me give you a background. The clash of culture between Jews and Greek Christians spilled over the clash of religious conviction and practice between law and grace, between circumcision and non-circumcision, freedom in the gospel, and bondage in the law. And they come to that agreement. And to understand why they reached such an agreement, we should try to explain in today's message. And not just to tell you why they agree, but see how relevant it is today in what we do and what we believe in. So the two key points that I want to cover in the next 30 minutes or so is compassion ministry and the poor. That's the first point. Compassion ministry and the poor. I'll explain what I mean by compassion ministry. Then, secondly, we try to apply nearer home, and that will be compassion ministry and Be Care, because this is Be Care weekend. So let's start with first one, compassion ministry and the poor. Who are the poor? And Strong's Dictionary defined the poor in the Greek word tochos as varying degree of poverty. So not just an abject poor, yes, poor auntie or something like living in a dump site and no home, no house, to just the poor in Singapore. The poor in Singapore may be very rich, all right? So you got varying degree. It can also mean beggar or just a person in straitened circumstances, just at a time when we just barely enough to get by. And it can mean being in lowly state, being helpless, powerless to accomplish certain end, and being poor and needy. So the English word that is best to use and we all try to accept is the word poor, P-O-O-R. So, and when we use the word poor, we should look at it in the broadest possible sense. Don't get stuck in a way that, well, if I'm poor means, well, I'm so abject poor, that we're ministering to poor, but they're not abject poor. But you take a look at the broadest sense of it, okay? Anyone that is afflicted, helpless, or powerless to accomplish certain end, they are considered the poor. In our work in the mission field, we say, oh, our work normally targeted the VPN, namely the vulnerable, the poor, and the needy. Vulnerable means those who are aged, those who are orphaned, and so forth, right? Those who are streetwalkers. And for us, the VPN would include migrant workers and the marginalized and the disadvantaged. And in our land, we have people like that now. Very marginalized, and they don't have a voice that is enough to get attention, to see things done, to get redressed. So, for example, migrant workers in our country is a very disadvantaged and marginalized people. In recent news, we have read 400 workers, migrant workers, have not been paid by employer for a long period, and they're suffering tremendously. How do we get to this stage where there are 400 workers not paid? It came out in the news, and ministers are involved, etc. Actually, journalists, when we interview them, the thing didn't grow up at one go. There are many companies. It started with the 10, the 50, and the 100, but no voice. And you got to wait for 400 people to be in such a state to have voice. And it sort of underscores that actually it's individual. These people are disadvantaged. That, they've been exploited, but they don't have voice to bring it up. All right, so the definition covers a very wide range of needy people. And ministering to people with these needs is commonly called them compassion ministry. So very wide-ranging ministry. We call them the compassion ministry. Let me say something more about this compassion ministry and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, for example, was very moved by compassion when he saw the needs of the multitudes. So it's just hundreds and thousands of people coming to him, and they were weary, they were scattered and lost. And then he engaged in evangelism and ministry with compassion. And then he challenged the workers, his disciples, to go into the harvest field and to have be engaged similarly in compassion ministry. So in Matthew 9, 35 to 38, it's recorded that when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved to compassion for them because they were weary, they were scattered like sheep with no shepherd. That means they were lost. And, well, it could be in the spiritual state, emotional state, but it's not just that physical. At the time, they were lost without a compass or a map, right? So the Lord had compassion for the multitudes in that type of category. But he also had compassion for the poor people. That's more specific. Jesus has a very soft spot for the poor. And you can argue that Jesus died for the world. He died for both the rich and the poor. And agree, otherwise we rich people here all die, be dead. It's true, he died for rich and the poor. But the poor are clearly his priority group. Priority. Of all the people, he always prioritize, always mention them first, always highlight them. I'm for the poor. We know that he has priority group, he has protected group, like children are his protected group. We don't deal with that until a later time. Now, so that is one category where God really cares for, right? The Lord also had great compassion for the disadvantaged and the marginalized people. They are special people to God. They include the strangers in the land, like migrant workers. They include people we minister to under the silver ribbon, the yellow ribbon, meaning those who are mentally challenged, those who have been released from prisons. And in the Old Testament, which we have no time to study, you'll find prophetic writing, writing in the Psalms, plus in legislation, in Deuteronomy, Leviticus. Clearly, God really spelled out the laws that he wants to protect the orphan, the fatherless, and the widows, those who are in a way in that time, they got no voice, no status. God put them in the law to say he cares for them. So all these show very clearly that somehow in God's heart, there's a special place for the poor. So the ministry of Christ to the weary, scattered lost, the poor, the disadvantaged, the marginalized, the needy people, then we group them up and we commonly call them as compassion ministry. Now, compassion ministry forms a significant part of our work, CP work, like community pastoring work. We always look out for the poor and the needy. Some people argue that in Singapore, there are very few poor people. That's true. But I think that needy people are everywhere. But abject poor, not many, because it's invisible. You don't see them. You and I don't see them, the abject poor. The government tries to do its best to take care of them. But if you go to the rental block, and some of us are doing rental block CP work, you will find that the poor, the Singapore poor are there. Not abject poor, like living in a dump site, but definitely straitened circumstances in their life. Trouble is that they are really invisible to us. We don't see them at all. So migrant workers are also invisible to us. Homeless people are invisible to us, but they are there, nevertheless. And the compassion of Christ will actually drive us and drive his people to minister to such group of people. The Lord has clearly communicated to the church regarding his compassion and his concern for this group of people. And so Jesus modeled for us in compassion ministry. And he also calls us to engage in compassion ministry. Right? What we are doing as a church is not invented by me or the church board. It's because Jesus, you know, he ministered to, he was an example, and then he calls us as a church to be engaged in. So try to understand, Jesus is a God who has tremendous compassion for the poor. And the poor is to be described in the largest possible sense of people who are needy. Right? And that we should really be engaged with them. And that brings me to the next point. Okay, I'm in good time. You should go 5 minutes before one. No, okay. Compassion ministry and Be Care. Let's try to link up to Be Care. Now, we position our church to reach the poor in a broader sense of the word. We do compassion ministry as part of our CP work. The community pastoring that we are encouraging churches to practice, and they are all directed to HDB housing estate. When we go about teaching them, we tell them that, look, most of our churches are situated near or in Heartland. Reach out to them first. Don't ask questions. I often get that question, how come you never teach us how to reach the landed property? How come you didn't teach us how to do the condominium? I say, God love them. Yeah. But all the Christians are there. I mean, why should we go to your place? Right? Nobody comes to Aruzu, the Charlton Estate, right? But we all go to the Heartland. Heartland people are of various racial, religious, social background. They speak diverse languages like Chinese dialects, Mandarin, various Indian languages, and English. And you find the rich and the poor residents in the community. They reside in apartments of wide-ranging sizes, design. HDB provide ownership of executive apartments, 5-room, 4-room, 3-room, 2-room, and 1-room apartments. And of course, some Heartlanders, they reside in HDB rental apartments. And we have cell group taking care of rental apartments as well. They tend to be economically poor. And the church will have to pastor residents of different social classes. And we somehow cannot avoid pastoring also the poor. The church must be engaged to some extent in compassion ministry. We have a small chart that shows you the Christian residents in various types of housing estate. And in the 1990 to 2000 census, we note that of the 2.25 million pre-believers, these are all non-Christian, all right, in Singapore, a huge number of pre-believers are in the 1-4 room, right, over there, 65%. But 10% in private property and about 25% in the HDB property. Actually, statistics always show us that a huge number of pre-believers, non-Christians, are in the 1-room to 4-room housing estate. They are often neglected, and we always want to tend to reach out to. We don't go to the condominium and landed property, but we reach them in our offices, in our college, etc., because we are white-collar, we are well-educated, we work in certain places, and we are reaching out to our friends, and they reside in those places. And we are pushing that in terms of the field that is most needy in Singapore is when you go to the HDB Heartland rental, and then from 1-4 room. So the overwhelming needs are found in pre-believers living in 1-4 room. Church and Be Care working in tandem. That's the next thing I want to say. Our CP work is actually directly reaching out to the community. When you knock the door, I knock the door, we tell them we are from the church. So it's very direct. However, certain work that we do in the community, the people or the partners in the community request that we do it through a non-religious entity instead of going through the church. So, for instance, we work with the schools, we work with the RC, CCC. They said, well, if you want to organize this, can you organize it through a non-religious entity? Don't come to us as a church. We know that you're from the church. And that's how we, 30 years ago, we started Be Care, because the Be Care is a non-religious organization, right? And that becomes the way we connect with people. We are not cheating anybody. We just connect with them in a way that they're comfortable. Most of the time, well, they know they were Christian, but they appreciate the fact that we are prepared to connect with them through a non-religious setting. Because this Be Care is really helping us to connect. It's through the connection that we find friendship, where we can express the gospel without words. We can express through our love. And like what Stella shared just now, people call us, right? We didn't call ourselves. I sing to Jia, okay, the house or the house of love. And when they got trouble, they say, I will go there. Yeah. So the work of Be Care is extremely important because it helps the church to connect with the neighborhood community. And Be Care is part of the CP ecosystem that we are creating in our church, in our community. Now, a lot of conversion take place through Be Care, but not in Be Care. So there's a difference. Because in Be Care, we don't preach. There's no gospel. There's no singing. There's no... sometimes we have prayer, but it's done sensitively. But for 30 years, we have so many centers, so many activities, nobody has complained. Nobody has complained that there's a breach of policy, etc. Because there's no breach. We don't preach. We connect. But people are converted through it, because in Be Care, the relationship is built. When trouble comes, they see you personally, and in their home, outside, or through a relationship, you're sharing the gospel, lead people to Christ. So a lot of conversion will take place. Okay. So CP work is very rewarding. It's very difficult. And I just want to encourage all of us to press on. Always remember that Be Care is part of us, right? We must take ownership. That's why the president of Be Care is also the senior pastor. Right? You cannot divest one from the other. I try to step down also. They say cannot. Yeah. They say we don't like you very much, but you cannot step down. Right? Because... I think we should have more ownership. In the days ahead, we just need more volunteers. To volunteer, not to give every day, 4 days a week, 5 days a week, 80 hours, 40 hours a week. But, you know, if all of us, by sheer numbers, can give 2 hours a week, it will make a lot of difference. And we have full-time staff. Our staff bill for Be Care is, I think, 2 or 3 million. And that's why we need to raise a lot of funds. But the church don't fund Be Care. Right? And you don't hear me coming to you to say, please give money for Be Care. It's self-funded. Once a year, we have this donation drive you can give. But it's self-funded, and we invest all the money in the community. We employ a lot of full-time staff, cost a lot of money. But that's not enough. You see, they run a program, they create opportunity, they need us to go in to connect. You just go there and befriend people. Love them, become their friend. Be there when the need arises, when they need to hear the gospel. That's our job. Right? So you learn to go there and enjoy whatever program. It's all free. And you just do the connection. Okay. Now, it's 10:43. Let me just... 12:43. Is it 12:43? We are supposed to end at what time? 1 o'clock. Okay, let me see what I can do some more. Jesus was anointed very specially for his work when he came to earth. And there was a prophecy in Isaiah way before he was born in the earth. And Isaiah 61, 1 to 3 say that the Spirit of the Lord God was upon Jesus Christ, right? And because the Lord has anointed Jesus, anointed me, to preach the gospel to the poor. So way before he came, there was an anointing in my life to preach to the poor. And then to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captive, to comfort all who mourn, console, those in mourning in Zion, open the prison door. That means the releasing oppression and so forth. Very much part of the compassion ministry. Then, at the very start of his earthly ministry, after he reached age 30, you know, he wanted to start his ministry. The first place he went to, and the first thing he did, was he went to the temple, and he took out a scroll on the Sabbath, and turned to Isaiah, and he read. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He repeated the same thing, and then he said, that today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What that was prophesied in Isaiah, now when it came, he started his ministry, this is being fulfilled. I'm anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. God has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, and set liberty to those who are oppressed. So, we are clear about our commission to preach the gospel, but at the same time, we must be engaged in compassion ministry. And we can ask God for an impartation of His anointing to us. The other thing that's very interesting about this ministering to the in compassion ministry is about the authentication of the Messiahship of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, after the Old Testament and then they enter, before they enter the New Testament, because they were waiting for Jesus to come, every now and then they would be wondering, so-and-so came, is he the Messiah? Is he the Messiah? And when Jesus finally came, people were still asking, now, is this guy the Messiah that we're waiting for, all right, to deliver Israel? And we read in the Bible, when John the Baptist was held captive by Herod, and just before his execution, he was also very troubled whether Jesus is the Messiah or not. So he called his disciples and said that, guys, you come. I'm in prison, right? But you go and ask this man, are you the Messiah? Now, it's very, very interesting when Jesus replied, he didn't say, yes, I am the Messiah. No, I'm not the Messiah. He just said that, you go and, he pointed to the evidence of his work, live, including the following in verse 22, Luke 7. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. See, when you see this, the poor have the gospel preached to them, that is an authentication. I'm telling you, I'm authentic. I am the Messiah. He didn't say that I'm going to the palaces, I'm going to the high places, to preach to them. That shows that I'm so powerful, so influential. I must be God. I must be a Messiah. So, you know, you tell them, tell John those various things he did, and then that I have preached the gospel to the poor. And even the authentication, the prophecy, the beginning has to do with preach the gospel to the poor. We do well, right, as a church. Always remember, we preach to the poor. Not that the rich people cannot know Christ. Right? They can. But give priority. And our church have given a priority. And we have a lot of our friends that are quite rich. They have come to Christ. We witness to them. I witness to them. But as a church, we are well positioned to give priority to the poor. I think I'll do one more thing and then we will see. Because it's quite something important. Last week I talked about prayer and fasting. So in prayer and fasting, you have ordinary prayer. We all pray. Sometimes God said that in certain cases, I want you to pray and fast. So we know the difference. But today, I want to show you that prayer and fasting can be quite ordinary. But Jesus said that there is a type of prayer and fasting and special fasting. Now, this special fasting is very powerful. And the point is that all of us are doing it. Except we don't know. If you change church, that church won't be doing it. Don't go to another church. Okay. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 to 12, Jesus said that he has a preferred fast. A lot of people do prayer and fasting. It's nothing wrong with it. But that passage, God was really rebuking his people at that time. They were doing fantastic fasting. Wow, set the day apart, put on ashes, put on ash clothing, and a mournful face, you're fasting. God said, look. I want to tell you, this might be good, you pray and fast like that, but that it's I have a preferred fast, and it's recorded here. Verse 6, is this not the fast that I've chosen, I preferred, right? To loose the bonds of wickedness, undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, break every yoke. That's what I want. Did I not tell you to share your bread with hungry? That you bring to a house a poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, you cover him and not hide yourself from the poor. Okay? And God said that this is what I prefer. This becomes the fast that I prefer. Code name the whole thing. It's a fast I prefer. And to summarize this, actually, I'm telling you, it's compassion ministry. You pray, you fast. But I tell you something else. I got a preferred fast that will attract my attention, that will cause intervention for my part, and that is to be engaged in compassion ministry. And look what? All of us are doing it. All right, so when you pray, sometimes God say, pray and fast. Yes, you pray and fast. And then always remember God, tell God, say, God, I want you to remember that as a church, we are also doing a preferred fast. It's a type of fast that you say, I have chosen. Church, this is something that God is absolutely interested. Take delight in, give his attention to, and I'm sure that you're a special group of people. We are a special group of people. As we faithfully do what matters most to him, that God is going to honor his word for us. Amen? Yes. Okay. Now, where is the... Is now Ruth, are you coming or you are not? Oh no, okay. Yeah. Ruth want me to close so they can go for your lunch. Yeah. Okay, good. Let's all bow and head of prayer together. In prayer together. Just take a minute of quiet and then reflect what you do in this church, CP and the things you do. You've got to know that it has to do with what Jesus will be very interested in. And it's not what I say. It's in a prophecy. It's at the start of his ministry. And during his ministry itself, Jesus always highlight the poor and the needy and set for his example so that we as a church to be engaged. Don't dismiss it. Don't say that you're called to reach out only to the high, mighty, clever, wise. Somehow, you have to include. Remember the poor. So while you're seated there, is there something you need to repent? That you have forgotten the poor? Repent. And after that, spend a minute maybe praying that God will renew your heart toward the poor and to ask him to give you a fresh compassion for the poor. All right, take a minute. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and compassion for us. We pray you fill us to overflowing today so that we'll flow in love and compassion for the people around us. Lord, we want you to know that we sometimes allow our compassion to leak, and yet we can't replenish it because it's not something that we can manufacture and produce. So today we ask that at the close of service here, you give to each one of us a fresh, a new impartation of your compassion, Christ's compassion, that your own word speaks about, the compassion that's upon, the anointing that's upon you. We pray that you'll come and you'll flow into our life. Help us as a church then to remember the poor, to preach the gospel to the poor, and to be engaged in the compassion ministry that matters so much to you, God. We commit the coming week to you. We pray that you'll bless the week for us as we go about the responsibility and work you entrusted upon us and our family and our children. Lord, we look to you for your blessing, your protection, your provision. And we give thanks to you, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and everybody say, Amen.